The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Would you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians, the first chapter? Ephesians, the first chapter. We reached the end of the first chapter in the series that I've been preaching off and on from the book of Ephesians. I want to read to you from verse 17 again, as we consider that the Lord has got us covered from head to toe. Notice the language in Ephesians 1 and 17, and this is Paul's prayer for the people that he was praying for. And I hope and pray that it's my prayer for you. I hope it's your prayer for me. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. And He begins to describe how His mighty power has worked, which He wrought His mighty power. That means He infused or worked in His mighty power in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, and not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And with His mighty power hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The Lord has you covered from His head to His toe. It says here that He has put all power and dominion under the feet of the Lord. So there's nothing above the feet of the Lord. And if you'll notice the image that is given here of Christ's body, of Him physically, under His feet is all dominion. And He's not through. He says, and His head, His mind, is what is over the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice the connection there. And notice where the church is. It's above the feet and it's below the head. So the church itself, because of the strength of Christ, has had all things put under its feet. All of the powers and dominions and governments of this world. That's why the church of Jesus Christ is still here 2,000 years later. It has transcended all of governments and all of empires. It is still here, and what you sit in today is a testimony, and what you have preached to you today from Brother Neil, from myself, and other days that you hear sermons, it's a testimony that all things have been put under the feet of God. You see, the fact that you're sitting here listening to the testimony of Jesus Christ, the message of the Word of God, tells us that there is no power that can overcome God's church. So don't just look up and see He's in heaven, He's above all these things, and He's got all power. He does have that. But He has you with Him. And His church is a special entity. It's a special provision that was the gift of God to the Son, so that you can take comfort in the fact that He does have all power and all dominion. And you can believe by faith that when the Lord comes back, that church will be somewhere because He said so. That's a glorious thing to think about, that you're a part of that. So He has us covered from head to toe. From His head to His toes, from His head to His feet, from the crown to the crest, from the top to bottom, from the brow to the base, from up to down, He's got you covered, and He brings it all the way back to the church for you so that you can understand how it impacts you and our lives as we go through this world. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which Jesus is the head, is the framework for you to experience the fullness of Christ in this life. Notice what He says. He's praying. He says, in verse 17, He says, I want you to have the spirit of knowledge and revelation, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. And your eyes to be enlightened, which is a very powerful thing to have your eyes enlightened when it's dark. and to know the hope of his calling and know the exceeding greatness of his power. And that power was worked into Jesus Christ. Colossians says that Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So the way that God chose to express himself when he came to the earth as a man was in the body of Jesus Christ. I've said this before, he didn't have the look of a Hollywood actor, or he didn't have the look of a bodybuilder. He was just an average, ordinary looking Jewish man that you could not have picked out of the crowd, and the Romans did not pick him out of the crowd when they came to arrest him. They had to have the traitor Judas with them to say, there he is, because they couldn't pick him out. Just an average, ordinary looking man. And yet that is the way that God chose to express himself as God in the body of man. And you say, well, that just doesn't fit in with my kind of thinking. That's because he's God and you're you. Because God chose to do it that way is a testimony to God is always just and he's always right. That's how God chose to express himself. In the same way that God chose to express himself in Jesus Christ as God in flesh, he also chose to express himself in a certain way when he went back to heaven and left his testimony here. And I'm sure you have guessed, that is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, it's not quite what I want. It doesn't matter what you want. It matters what God's word says it is and how we strive to do it the way that he wants it. All right, now listen. If you grew up in a traditional church setting, I'm going to tell you, this requires a person who has grown up in a traditional church setting to forget everything that you thought you knew about church. Just erase it. It's hard to do that. Well, I had this experience growing up. I had an experience too, and I'll just go ahead and tell you and testify. The experience I had growing up in the church, believing the truth, was not the experience that God intended for us to have in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was very weak and it was very unsocial. You know, everybody would just show up and leave. And we'd hear a message about predestination and then nobody knew each other. There was no activity among the church members. I'm just telling you, I have had to forget everything that I knew about the traditional church that I grew up in order to see the vision of God's church. So if you've grown up in what modern thinking would say is traditional church, it requires you to erase that and come to the scripture and see what God says and relearn the true meaning of church. That's very important because this is not to criticize and it's not to put down, but in order to understand what God intends for church, you have to see that what's going on out in the world that is not fulfilling to God's children, that is not satisfying the thirst and the taste and the hunger that they have for the truth of God's word. You just have to look at that and say that the modern system just doesn't work. It's broken. It just doesn't work. The idea of the big mega church where you can just go in and not even be a name. Just be a face, and you sit down and you get a message from somebody, a preacher that you don't know, that's probably never been to your house, has never consulted with you, has never counseled you, but you get a message from that person. You don't know this person on the right, you don't know this person on the left, and you get that message, you take that message, and a lot of times, I mean, who knows about the content of that message too? And then you say, well, I've been to church. That may be the modern definition of what church is, but it's not the Bible definition. The Bible definition of what church is the Greek word ekklesia, and it is used only in the unique scenario where God's children come together as described in the scripture for one single purpose when they assemble publicly, and that is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not there to just get a load of something and go away and not know this person and not know that person. That's not church. Church is to come forward with your praises and your thoughts and your meditations and your prayers and your singing, and it's all lifted up for the glory of God. And it doesn't just end there. It also involves interaction with God's children among themselves as what is described as the body of Christ. Without that, we cannot get the true meaning of church. We cannot experience that. So think about maybe the ways that some of you or all of you, and I put myself in that category, the different ways that we came up experiencing church. Sometimes we just have to wipe that out and come to the Word of God. Because we'll say, well, we don't have this, or this doesn't have that, or I'm not quite satisfied with this. If we will come to the Scripture without a preconceived notion of what this or that should be, and we'll submit ourselves to what the Lord says it should be, that is what God intends for us to experience for the fullness of Christ in this life. And it's really amazing all of the things that it doesn't involve. All of the things that man has added to the church service or to public worship, that when we cut it out and we get it away and we just break the basics down to the Word of God, it's amazing what it does for God's children. I read an article recently. It was posted on Facebook. The name of the article was Worshiptainment. Worshiptainment. I don't know if some of you might have read that. It's very interesting. Not a Primitive Baptist. I'm not the only one speaking this and saying these things. It's not just me. It's not just Primitive Baptists. There is a general dissatisfaction and hunger across the land with God's children who are just not being fed and just not satisfied with the modern things that are offered in what is called the church. It's all across the land for God's children who are hungry. And in that article, it was really interesting. It described it as worshiptainment, you know, a combination of worship and entertainment. That's what most people think about church now. Let's go and be entertained like it's a concert or like it's some kind of, you know, a program that you go to see, you know, and you discharge that. You know, the attractions that are there, you know, we'll attract the kids with this. We'll attract the young adults with this. We'll attract the teenagers with this. We'll attract the middle-aged with this. We'll attract the married with this. We'll attract the divorced with this. Oh, I've run out of breath. And God's people are running out of breath because that's not what God intended for church. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to experience the fullness of Christ. And the only way we can do that is by submitting ourselves to what he describes, not what Brother Tim says is the way it ought to be, but what he describes as the experience in the church. And forget the preconceived notions that we may have about church. You think about church as an activity? Nope, that's wrong. You think about church as a something to check off a list? No, sorry, won't work. You think about church in terms of, well, you know, some would say, well, you got to have, you know, a Sunday school for the kids, or you got to have the youth group, or you got to have these other things. No, I'm sorry, those things were not, Jesus didn't incept those things. He didn't institute those things. So how should I think about the church? Think about the church as Jesus described it. He says it is his body, and a body is a living organism. It's the body of Christ. He said, well, who's giving us our orders? Brother Tim, are you up there giving us our orders? Where do the orders for your body come from? We talked about this a little bit last week. Your brain. And your brain, when your brain says, I want to raise my right hand, aren't you glad it doesn't take that long to do it? If you had to go, I want to raise my right hand. Whoop, you know, that'd be weird, wouldn't it? I want to tie my shoe. And I go do it. It's just instant. The brain is amazing. And the brain says, guess what I just thought? In an instant, I thought, I'm going to raise my right hand. Well, I think I'll do this. I'll raise my left hand. It's amazing how the brain functions. You say, well, who's giving us our orders? Jesus Christ is the head. He's the brain. And what does a head have? It has eyes, it has a nose, it has a mouth, it has ears. I mean, we could go on with that, but that's enough. I mean, think about it. The Lord, it says, the eyes of the Lord searches to and fro throughout the earth to see those who are strong on his behalf. It says that the Lord, his ear is open to our prayers. Even from the smell of the Lord, you know, our prayers are a sweet savor to him. The sacrifices, the way that we serve God is a sweet savor to the Lord. It either smells really good to the Lord or what we're doing smells really bad. Don't we want to smell good to the Lord? And then what about the mouth? Where does the direction or the orders or the vision of God's church come from? It comes from the mouth of God. If only we could hear from the mouth of God, right? Here it is. This is spoken from the mouth of God. I'm just repeating to you what God has spoken from his mouth. So whatever this says, whatever is contained in here, that is what God expects us to do and to follow and to live out in our lives. Do y'all believe that? Amen. This is it. This is the mouthpiece of God. And you have a messenger of God standing before you, in myself, in Brother Neil, in Brother Luke, and other brothers. You have the messenger of God telling you what the mouth of God has spoken over 66 books. And I'm going to tell you, it's sufficient. It's complete. You have everything you need. So think of the church of Jesus Christ as a living organism that takes its orders, and orders, the word order even sounds severe. You know, when I think and raise my hand, I'm not ordering my hand to do that. There's a voluntary, you know, what if my hand rebelled and said, I will not? You know, I mean, that can happen. Somebody might have a stroke or have some kind of physical impairment, and their hand or their foot or their leg, it rebels against them, and it will not do what they are asking it to do. You see, it's not really even an order. It's just an electrical impulse that my thought leads to my whatever I tell my body to do. That's kind of interesting. You know, the Spirit is compared to like an electrical impulse, you know, the Spirit of God that energizes us spiritually. So you see, the church of God is a living organism, a living body, and the lifeblood of the body is love. So what is it that we have, Brother Tim? What is it that God has blessed the church with to flow through it, to sustain this body? It's charity. It's love. That is the lifeblood of the body of Christ. And listen, child of God, you can't get the full experience of what Christ intended for us to have outside of the framework of His provision. You can't get it. You can't. I can go, and one day soon, I hope to go, as I have done in the past. One time in the past, I have gone and I have stood on the precipice of the Grand Canyon, and it is grand. I mean, it is amazing. If some of you have seen it, even the pictures are amazing. But I stood there. Brother Chris and I went there years ago in the 90s, just in awe and thinking about the greatness of God and the flood of Noah's time and all the things. I mean, just the nature of God is amazing. But nature is not the framework by which Christ has commanded us to experience Him in this life. Now, we can get a lot of great things out of nature, but it is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here that, watch this language in verse 23. It is His body, it is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The fullness of Him, the definition means that which is put in to fill, or as you would cram a net full, like cram a net full of fishes, or level up a hollow. You know what that is? You know, when there's a hollow, you know, where you want to make a road to come through, you have to bring in dirt and fill it up. And you have to make it level so the road can pass over that. It reminds me of Isaiah 40, where he talks about the path being straightened by John the Baptist as he would come. But he says here that the fullness of Him, in other words, He has filled to the brim. He has filled it full and poured Himself into the church of God so that it would be what He intended it to be. And you say, well, that's just kind of mysterious. I can't quite understand that. Well, Colossians explains that. In Colossians, the first chapter, it says in Colossians 1, as Paul is referring to the church, he says in verse 26, he says, this mystery has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints in the church, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, and here it comes, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is the mystery of the body of Christ. And we need to look up and we need to see Christ by the eye of faith lifted up on the throne. But we also need to see Christ in each other, because that is the draw between us. It's what Christ has put in you. And you see, it was a mystery for generations. Nobody knew that none of the children of God in generations before Christ came and made this known knew what was going on inside them. Some people associated that with a false god like Zeus or Apollos or Diana or Aphrodite or the different false pagan gods that were out there. They would associate what they felt inside, but you know, it just wouldn't match up with the way they were worshiping and the things that were going on, because those were cruel gods. They just as soon drop a lightning bolt on you as you know, shake your hand. Of course, there's nothing to that. That's just what they perceived. But the God of all grace and the God of all glory, what was really inside those people was Christ Jesus in their heart. And the gospel tells you that. What is it that you feel when you're convicted of your sins? What is it that you feel when you love your brother and your sister? It is Christ in you. And that was a mystery for thousands of years, and now it's revealed to the church. So if you want to experience the greatness of God, the power of God, you experience through the framework that God has set up, and it's His church. And it's you in His church. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory within your heart. I tell you, doesn't that simplify things? Somebody says, well, I'm looking for the kind of church where I can experience what I really need to experience. And it's got to have this. It's got to have that. It's got to have the other. It's got to have something for my children. It's got to have something for me. It's got to have something for my parent. I just got to find all of these little things that are going to match up. And then I'll have what I need in church. I want you to know, sitting here today, that you have everything that you need to experience the fullness of Christ in His church. Because what you need to experience it is in your heart. It is in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory that is identified by this word, that's identified by the gospel, that's experienced in the church, that you understand. That's what it is. I remember reading that article that I read on worshiptainment. It said, would anybody even show up if everybody in the modern church, if everybody just said, okay, no more programs, no more activities. We're just going to have the word of God preached and read. And that's all we need. Oh, young folks, older folks, middle-aged folks, whatever you may be, don't let the modern trends and tendencies deceive you into thinking that Christ in me is not enough, that the Word of God is not enough, that I just can't really identify with anything. Oh, that's the old devil whispering in your ear. That's the devil. I can't identify with church unless I've got people my age. I grew up in a church that had nobody my age. And I tell you what, you'd have had to hold me down and beat predestination out of me, and that probably still wouldn't have done the trick. Matter of fact, Sister Holly and Sister Karen and I were kind of laughing here recently, talking about some times that I used to go with them on Sunday nights to a local church where they went, and they had a little youth gathering on Sunday nights, and many Sunday nights that I think I only went a couple times because they realized how it was going to be if they invited me to go. Because that teacher would start talking. It was a teacher. It was not a preacher. That teacher would start talking about accepting Christ and doing this. And you got to do that. And I mean, back in those days, I was, if you can believe it, I was much more argumentative. And so before you know it, me and the little youth pastor teacher there were tying one on about what the Bible really taught. And I'm not saying I'd want to go back and relive that. But I have a better attitude about meekness and how to teach and preach today. But thinking back on that, I mean, I was strong in the truth. I believed that ever since I was a little boy. I didn't have any friends. I didn't have anybody to identify with me. You don't have to. I praise God for that experience so that I can see now just how valuable it is when you do have those that are your age or a little older or a little younger. So we can see how God intended it to be, that there's all age groups in the church. And this is the amazing part, that when you have Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is the mystery revealed, that you can identify with one another because Christ in you identifies with one another. You might support a different football team. You might support a different activity. You might like to shop and this person doesn't like to shop. You might like to hunt and this person doesn't like to hunt. That is not the tie that we have. The tie that we have is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this is the mouthpiece of God that tells you about it. You got everything you need. Hebrews the 12th chapter gives you great description about what the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is. And I love the description that's given here. Look at Hebrews 12. He says this. He says, verse 22, you're come to Mount Zion. Here's what you are come to. I want you to listen to the descriptions and see if your attitude is this way towards the church. The Lord says that His church is Mount Zion. That's a mountain. Well, you know what the peak of that mountain is, don't you? You know what the tip-top peak of it is? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you are come unto the city of the living God. The church of God is described as a city. Well, you know who the mayor of that city is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you're come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Well, if you've got a company gathered together, there's got to be a host, right? If you have company over, you have a host whenever company comes over. Well, I'm telling you, the host, it's not Brother Tim, and it's not Brother Tim's church. It is the host of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. It also describes it here to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. He says the general assembly there, an assembly. If some of you who are in school, and I remember we would have a general assembly of people come together for whatever purpose, to make announcements or to have a program or whatever. Well, there was, you don't just walk into an assembly and suddenly it just happens, right? I mean, all of a sudden there's something going on and everybody just wanders around until something happens. No, when you come into an assembly, there is someone who is in charge of that assembly. It's often referred to the master of the assembly. And I tell you, Jesus Christ is the master of this assembly. Not me. I am inconsequential when it comes to the church. You say, well, I like to hear you preach, Brother Tim. I hope you do. I mean, that's great. I'm glad you do. But I am inconsequential. Another man can fill the pulpit and preach the Word of God. I am inconsequential when it comes to the church moving on and moving forward. So don't get hung up like they did in Corinthians about who the preacher, who is bringing the message. Well, I prefer this one, I prefer that one. If they're bringing to you the Word of God, we need to be satisfied in that, because the assembly that has come together has the master of the assembly, and that's Jesus Christ. It also says that He's the church of the firstborn. Who is the firstborn? It's Jesus Christ. We're written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. And that tells you pretty clearly that we're before God, who is the judge, and that's not to tremble in fear. We're the jury with God. You see, through Christ, the only just one who has made us and declared us innocent, we stand as the jury. It says we shall judge men and angels. And you can judge what's going on in the world. You can see whether this is right or whether this is wrong. You can take a candidate in an election and say, this one supports this, this one supports this. How does that match up to the Word of God? You can take the things that happen in your workplace. They're asking me to do this or to do that. And you can judge. Don't believe for a second what the false teachings in the world say. Well, the Bible says, judge not. Because it says, don't judge. We can't judge. It says to judge with righteous judgment. Judge judgment with the Word of God. Young folks, whenever you're dealing with different activities that you're involved with, and especially different friends that you may have, oh, you need to judge those friends by the Word of God. Are they calling me to do something illegal or something that's not appropriate? Are they pulling me over here away from my family? Oh, are they pulling me away from the church of God? Have they said, well, y'all don't have this over there. You know, you need to come over here with this. I can assure you that if you want to experience the framework, if you want to experience the fullness of what Jesus Christ intended, it must be within the framework. And it comes from the Word of God. It comes from the truth of God. It comes with interaction with one another. He says, we are come to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. How? Because the just one, Jesus Christ, made them perfect. He says, we are come to Jesus, the mediator, which means the go-between between God and man, and to the blood, which is His blood. You see, the church is a place of enlightenment, as Paul said. The church is a place of support for one another, for Christ in you, the hope of glory. The church is a place of glory for God. So what does it mean to God? Do you have this attitude sometimes? Well, I don't really need it. I don't really need the church. You know, I've got what I need in life, and I just don't need it. And you know the traditional message to preach to that you would think of, a preacher gets up there and he hammers us and he steps on our toes and he pokes us in the eye and punches us in the nose and says, you better not think that way. Let me just try to give you an inverse. Because we all go through that. I just don't need it. I don't need the hassle. I don't need the trouble. Sometimes it's troublesome dealing with God's people. You know, try being the preacher sometime. If you think it's troublesome, try being the preacher. Now, well, I just really don't need the church. It's really just not for me. Let me just tell you this. God needs you. God needs you in the church. God wants you in the church. God wants you to experience the fullness of Christ in this life. And the only way to do that is by submitting yourself to the church. You know, we think, well, I just don't need it. I could just walk away from it. No, you can't, because God needs you. I mean, I need you for sure, but can you imagine God on His throne that's got you covered from top to bottom, and He says, I mean, He's got everything. He's the God of the universe, but He says, I need you and I want you. You may not think that you need Him, and you may not think that you need the church, but the reality of that is He needs you and He wants you. A lot of times you might think about it in terms of me. Well, Brother Tim wants me. And I do. I want you. I love you. I crave your fellowship. But even more than me, because I could be gone tomorrow and I won't be craving fellowship anymore. I could be gone tomorrow, but God craves your fellowship. God craves your interaction with one another. God craves your presence. God craves your prayers towards the saints. God craves the praise. He needs you to glorify Him. He wants you to. Not just, He said, well, God doesn't need anything. God needs you and He wants you.
That is a fact, because we've often said, well, he doesn't really need you, but he wants you. He needs you and he wants you, because he has so entwined himself with you that he cannot be satisfied himself without you. How about that? You know, it's a mixed multitude in the church. I had a little thing I was going to run down here, but I've run out of time. Maybe we'll get to it another time. I was going to talk to you about the loudmouth in the church, the impulsive loudmouth. I was going to talk to you about, the little brother in the church. I was going to talk to you about the guys who were always trying to call down thunder and lightning on people, the sons of thunder. I was going to talk to you about the doubting ones in the church like Thomas, or talk to you about the political activists like Simon Zelotes. Oh my goodness, it's a mixed multitude that God brings together in his church. There's people, these apostles, that you might not have felt comfortable sitting down and talking with. What was their tie? Christ in them. It's Christ in them that brings them together. So God's got you covered from top to bottom, from tip to toe. He's got you covered throughout all of eternity. And he has built you a framework that is called his body for you to experience him in this life. And you just have to kind of ignore or forget or relearn what we've traditionally thought about church to come to see what God intended for us to experience. And if you sit there today and say, well, I'm just not quite experiencing that, I can assure you that it's not the fault of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be some fault in you. It may be some fault in me. Maybe you're not accessing me. It may be not accessing each other. But if you're not experiencing what God intended, certainly don't blame God for that, because the framework that he built is perfect. The song says, when I am to die, receive me, I'll cry, for Jesus has loved me. I cannot tell why, but this I do find, we two are so joined, he'll not live in glory and leave me behind. Jesus has joined himself to you so intimately that he wants you and he needs you to glorify him in the framework that he set up.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.